Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I have a special surprise for you today I'm really excited about. So you might have seen back in May, we did this two-day Biz Blitz event. It was for Foot Traffic Formula members only. So unless you're one of our members, you would not have had access to this. It was this two-day event. I had about 11 or 12 maybe guest experts that came in and presented on a variety of topics. And it was between just like friends and peers in the industry, as well as some of my rockstar powerhouse mastermind clients. So one of them is Tyler McCall, and Instagram is always so popular. And usually the podcast, if we have anything with Instagram in the title, it does really, really well. And I thought, okay, what can I bring that would be really exciting to you? And I thought, Tyler's amazing. His Instagram strategies are incredible, and just the social media strategies behind what he teaches, you are going to love. So today on the show, I'm actually going to give you a little piece of Tyler's 45-minute clip or his episode that we did together, his presentation, all right? So if you are like, I want all of this, and I want the entire Biz Blitz, it was a two-day event from about 9 to 3 both days. If you want all of that, you can go to foottrafficprogram.com, find out more details about the program, and then this is one of the bonuses you get immediate access to when you join. So definitely check that out. All right, if you're ready to hear behind the scenes of what happened in our Biz Blitz, let's jump to the show. Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over a million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. All right. So before we jump in, I would love for you to just kind of share a little bit about your background, just a quick overview of like, how did you become this Instagram guy that everybody knows about, talks about, et cetera?
Well, thanks. And thanks for having me, Stacey. Yeah. I appreciate it. Also, I heard you saying we met in person. Remember when we used to do that? Oh my God, those were the days.
I know. I can't
wait. One day soon.
I'm having like conference withdrawals for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I feel that. Well, hey everyone. I'm so excited to be here hanging out with you today. My name is Tyler G. McCall. I am an Instagram marketing strategist and coach for online business owners, digital entrepreneurs, and really entrepreneurs and brands across the board. I started my professional career in the nonprofit world. That's what I did for nearly 10 years. I went to work for the YMCA straight out of college and spent the majority of my professional career in membership, sales, and operations and marketing for the YMCA, and had the chance to work with the YMCA at the local, the national, and the international level, which was really cool. But that's where I really learned what it took to sell a membership. I learned all about supporting members through the Y experience. I learned about corporate sales and how to position a product for people to purchase memberships for their employees. And then I also learned about opening facilities. I was the operations lead on opening a brand new facility. So as you know, Stacey, in this whole kind of like fitness space, you kind of end up doing a little bit of everything, especially in the nonprofit world. So that's what I did for a long time, most of my career. And toward the tail end of that time, I started working in the marketing department, and I was also doing the side hustle thing. Yeah. I had a handmade business. I was making a room and linen spray called Mr. McCall's Fine Fragrances by hand.
I do not think I knew that.
What? Yes.
Okay, crazy. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. So that was my second business. I also had a grocery delivery business back before Instacart and everything was a thing. Yeah. But that was the business I had when I left when I was getting ready to leave the Y. I was making this product by hand at my kitchen table, using like essential oils I got online, using labels I printed off on the copier at work. Sorry, YMCA. but that's what kind of got me introduced to social media as a platform, because I was using it to market my own product, to sell my handmade product online. And I ended up leaving the Y and started actually doing social media management for other businesses. So that was in 2016. And I ran an agency for a couple of years doing social media content creation and management. And I really learned about the power of Instagram during that time because we were getting our clients incredible results on Instagram. And at this time, all of my clients were pretty much local businesses, mainly brick and mortars, gift shops, restaurants, spas, hotels, across the board, jewelry designers who had brick and mortar stores across the board. So was working with those clients. I started to see how effective Instagram was for them. So then I started using it for myself, and y'all, guess what? It worked. Mm-hmm. Like by 2017, by the middle of that year, I had more clients than I could handle. I was doing social media management, coaching, consulting. Agencies in town that didn't have a social media person were paying me to come in and like white label my knowledge as their social media person. So really honed my skills then. And then at the end of 2017, I launched my own digital product called the Follower to Fan Society, which is a membership site and training program all about Instagram marketing. And that's kind of what I've been doing for the past 3 years. So focusing on that, scaling that product, and growing our business that way.
Yeah, and you guys, he has a wide variety and a wide background. So when we get to the Q&A section, you ask him whatever you want because he also has a phenomenal membership. I know that's not what he's talking on, but if you have questions about it, feel free to ask. Rachel Perry's on, and she said, I didn't know that either. So I swear I've never heard that part of your bio before. Okay, good. I'm glad, yes. Rachel, on the same page. Okay, so talking about Instagram specifically, what are you noticing? Because I mean, you got on it at a time that many of us wish we got on it, right? Yeah. Now all of a sudden we're playing this 2020 game. What is like, what used to work that's not working anymore? And how does that look right now in 2020?
Yeah, it's interesting because I started using Instagram before direct messages existed, before Instagram stories existed, before Instagram Live existed. So it's a totally different platform. But I'll tell you right now, some of the things that are no longer working on the platform that used to work, the first thing is having this picture perfect, completely branded, well-designed, laid out feed. I think there was a time, Stacey, probably a couple years ago, right? When like you had to always have the photo shoot. It always had to be in your brand colors.
I'm really excited that the photo shoot thing is no longer a thing I need to like do every 3 months because that was so expensive.
Exactly. Yeah. And what a lot of business owners kind of found themselves in, especially maybe a year and a half ago, is you were on this content creation hamster wheel. And that is the last thing that we want to be on as business owners, where you were always having to create a new post, have a new photo, write a new caption. So what we're seeing now on Instagram is that real, authentic, vulnerable content is performing better than anything else. Now, that doesn't mean that it gets to be ugly. So that's just kind of the distinction there. Yeah. But there are lots of super easy ways that you can create content yourself using, you know, this tiny computer that you carry around in your pocket or your purse every single day. I love using my phone to take photos. Using presets now are a super easy and affordable way to give your feed a consistent aesthetic without having to splurge on the photo shoots or always find the picture perfect photo to post. Yeah. So that's the first thing.
Okay.
The other thing that we're seeing on Instagram, another thing is that we can actually post less often in the feed and our content does better. And this is really contrary to what we used to think. And, you know, a couple of years ago on Instagram, the rule was post at least once a day, but 2 or 3 times a day would be okay as well. But not anymore because the algorithm is so smart now. Instagram, the feed is algorithmic now. It's no longer chronological. So the computer is deciding what you see when you see it. And that means we can actually post in the feed less often. So what we tell most of our clients is 3 to 4 times a week at the most is really all you need to post in the feed because your content is going to last so much longer. And then the last thing we're seeing, the really big difference here is that the best content is content that is highly savable and highly shareable. Mm. So this is where it becomes really important for business owners to start thinking about how they're using their Instagram as a community platform and as a storytelling platform and not using it as a billboard. And this is a huge mistake that a lot of, especially local businesses, brick and mortar businesses tend to make, is that, oh, well, Instagram is just another place like our Facebook page or like the header on our website where we need to post announcements and news. You know, this is the special of the day. This is the offer we have. Come in and get this. And that's important because you're consistent, your regular customers and clients, they may be following you. The folks who love you may be following you for updates. But what's more important is that you're using this account as a place to pull in new people, to tell the story of the business, to connect them with the mission, the purpose of what you're doing, and then make them fall in love with you. Mm-hmm. And that's the
biggest difference. So how are you posting about 3 to 4 times per week right now?
I post about once or twice a week now.
Tyler, I'm jealous.
In the feed.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay, that's really good. And it's exciting to hear that it's, like you said, it's not the same game we were playing before.
Exactly. But the big difference here, Stacey, is if you're going to post less often in the feed, actually, regardless of your feed posting strategy, you really need to be on stories as regularly as possible.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Yeah. And I think, you know, just talking about stories a little bit, it's what I'm most excited about because like you said, I don't really want the billboards. And if all your stories are the billboards, I'm just not interested in following you because I want to see like, what does your house look like? And like, what are you doing today? And all that nosy stuff that like we want to know.
Yeah. Can you talk about why you want to see that? Because I think a lot of people think, but I hear this all the time, and I'm sure you may hear it too as well. Well, I can't share that because my followers don't want to hear about that. But it's just not true. Why do you want to see that kind of stuff from businesses online?
Yeah. So what's funny is I wish I would post more of that, but I just don't even think to do it. And I think about it more on the weekends, but during the week, it's hard for me to remember. But I purposely will go look at somebody because I'm just curious. Like if I like somebody or I like their brand or I like their business, I kind of want to know like a little bit more behind the scenes. Is this always perfect? Is this always what you do? Or it's just like having a friend where you'd ask questions. Like you want to know like, so Tyler, where do you live? And what do you do? And you know, are you married? Are you have kid? Like you'd ask those questions. And that's what this is. It's just a conversation, at least for me.
Yeah, I love that. And there's a whole process that we teach our clients. And I wish I could go into it more because it's a little bit more detail, but I'll just do a little high level view. It's this concept called shared experiences and this idea that all good brands on Instagram, whether you are a personal brand like Stacey and I, where you follow us and you know us, or you are, you know, a brick and mortar business with a business name and a logo that may have people behind the business, but it doesn't matter. Every brand on Instagram really needs these shared experiences. And I like to think of them as 2 to 3 topics or ideas that I share with my followers that are completely independent of my product or service. And the reason this type of content is important, it allows us to build a relationship with our community on Instagram that goes beyond a goal of monetizing that relationship. People can tell, they can smell it from a mile away when the only reason you want them to follow you is to buy your stuff. They can totally tell, and they're not going to follow you. They don't want to be a part of that. So these shared experiences are topics, ideas, types of content you can talk about consistently that create a connection with your audience. So a really great example for me is one that you probably already know, Stacey. I'm sure Rachel Perry already knows. This is something I talk about regularly because I honestly love this thing. I love this place. And my ideal customer, she's a mom in her mid-30s, to early to mid 50s. And I don't want to stereotype or generalize, but y'all love this place too. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Target, obviously. Yes. Like I legitimately love Target and my ideal customer loves Target. So when I talk about Target, not from a markety place, but from a I love going to Target type of place, and my follower loves going to Target, we create this shared experience. And I'm top of mind when she goes to Target. She sends me Target memes and Target cartoons that she sees online. She replies to posts of things I have in my home and says, oh my gosh, is that from Target? I have that too. And it creates this connection and conversation around something other than my product and service. And why is that important? Well, it's because it allows us to build a relationship human to human. And I just caught kind of the tail end of a question you were answering about business to business or business to consumer. Yes. And y'all, all business is human to human. It doesn't matter. Business to business is actually like a decision maker to a business type of decision. It's a human to human. That business, that entity isn't making the decision. It's a human being making that decision.
I think that's a big holdup for a lot of people. They're like, no, I don't think this would work for me. I'm like, you guys, my studio and my online coaching business are totally different. We use the same strategies. And in fact, you know, this like COVID has really gotten us to start to grab our teachers more and having them do Instagram story takeovers and like the YouTube reading books at night. Like, oh my goodness. Like, they love our front desk people. They love the teachers. I never saw the power in really letting them like shine on our social media. And now it's a strategy we'll keep forever.
And those are the things that are setting your studio apart, right? Those people that you can come to your studio and see that person checking you in at the desk or that person teaching a class. That's what people are connecting to. Anyone can teach dance. Anyone can. And now we've seen too, Stacey, right? Anyone can take their brick and mortar studio and put it online. Anyone can Zoom a fitness class.
Yeah.
But anyone can't Zoom a fitness class with your favorite Zumba instructor, right? Mm-hmm. Anyone can't Zoom your favorite instructor reading something at night. Like, not anyone can do that. So that makes all the difference.
Now, I want to ask you, so Megan has a good question. Do you think even a brand new Instagram user should be doing 3 to 4 times a week? Or should they be doing more?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm a big fan of getting a solid like 12 to 15 posts built out in the feed. And then, so you could honestly post those in just a couple of days. You know, if you just joined Instagram today and you want to build out your account, plan out 12 to 15 really good posts. Post those over the course of the next few days. Don't spam Instagram too much because you'll start setting off their alarm bells, but post it over the next few days. And then you can go out and start posting on stories, start liking and commenting in hashtags, start resharing other people's content to your Instagram stories to get attention back to your brand. And then once you're starting to do that, you can cut down to those 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah. Because when I find somebody new and I then go to their feed, I might only be looking at a few of the top ones anyway. And I'm not looking to be like, oh, he actually posted this 6 days ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's a really good point too. You really want to think of your feed. When you go to someone's profile on Instagram, think of what you as a normal everyday civilian, when you're using Instagram, what are you looking at? Because people are looking at the exact same thing on your business page. So the things they're looking at are your profile photo. So if you can have a real human being face, it's so much more effective than, you know, a picture of your store or a picture of a logo. So a real human being is really great. Then your bio. So giving me a really quick view of who you are and what you do. And then it's honestly, Stacey, those top 6 to 9 posts. That's really all people are looking at. They're not scrolling back too far unless they're really nosy and weird. Or there's someone like Rachel Perry who falls in love with you on Instagram and stalks you. but otherwise, they're just looking at your top 6 to 9 posts.
Yeah.
And so thinking of how you can create this little portfolio with your profile photo, your bio, your latest 6 to 9 posts, that's what people are going to be looking at to make those follow decisions.
What we said, highly savable, highly shareable.
Yeah.
Are there things that you've noticed with, I mean, you serve so many clients. So is there a theme with your clients that you're seeing these are shareable or savable, or is it very different depending on your business?
No, across the board, it's very similar. So it's content that elicits some kind of emotional response in your follower. And the two emotional responses that it's typically eliciting are either happiness, acceptance, joy, oh my gosh, I get this, this resonates with me, or frustration. So, oh, this is like touching a nerve for someone. This is a little bit frustrating for someone. This is a little bit grating for someone. And the beauty of that content is that it allows us to attract and repel the right kind of people. You know, all the time, Stacey, I don't know if you hear this, people are like, I want to be more magnetic. I want people just attached to my business. And all these people are pursuing this concept of magnetism. How can I get people to fall in love with me? But if you want people to fall in love with you, you also need people to not like you and for people to not resonate with your content and not resonate with your brand. And the sooner you are willing to get really clear on what it takes to help people fall in love with you and at the same time make sure people maybe don't love you and your brand, the sooner you're going to build that following and have people magnetized to you and your content. So the typical types of savable and shareable content we're seeing are quotes, graphics, memes, cartoons, and or maybe videos. I think some video will be in there as well. The things that aren't really savable and shareable are, and this is a big difference, Stacey, because a couple of years ago, the name of the game on Instagram was post pictures of people, post pictures of yourself. You know, that's what everyone was saying. But now people aren't really going to share a photo of a stranger on the internet to their Instagram story. Mm-hmm. They're going to share a quote or a cartoon, something that made them laugh or cry, or something that's going to make them say, can you believe this person said this? And they're going to send it to a friend in a DM. And those are typically going to be more static type of posts, like a quote or a graphic or a flow chart or something like that.
Yeah. Well, and now somebody's hearing this and thinking, okay, I'm going to load up my Instagram with quotes. Yeah. What is the fine line of like people really seeing the person behind the brand versus just quotes loading up your Instagram?
Yeah. The rule of thumb that we always have with our clients is when you open up your Instagram feed, I shouldn't be able to do more than one kind of flick of my finger without being able to see your face on your feed. Without being able to see a human being. So it's really important that you still have pictures of people. You know, if you're selling a product, it's still important that you are showcasing photos of your product. If you have a brick and mortar space or somewhere people are coming to, you still need to showcase pictures of that space. Mm-hmm. All of those types of content are really important, but it's just adding in some of this savable and shareable content and then paying attention to the metrics. This is huge because a lot of people are just posting on Instagram all willy-nilly and they're just posting because it's another thing on their to-do list. And if you're just posting on Instagram because you want to be productive or because you need to plan out your content calendar or because we're telling you to post on Instagram, mm-hmm. I really want to encourage you to rethink why you're doing it. Because if you're not posting with a goal in mind of how you're going to turn those followers into leads, into traffic, into sales, into inquiries, then why are you doing it, sister? Like, it's just a waste of time. Like, why are you doing it? You could spend your time doing other stuff. Like hanging out or working on your business or watching Real Housewives, like not always trying to post on Instagram.
Absolutely. So knowing that there are stories and IGTV and IG Live and all of that stuff, where is your number one place stories? Like where are you focusing your time and like which ones even matter to you?
Yeah. So the two most important are the feed and stories. And I'll tell you why. The feed is all about those follow decisions like we talked about earlier. When people are coming to your feed, they're looking at your feed and deciding whether or not they're going to opt in and get some more of what you're sharing online. Okay. But it's also important to think about every time a post of yours shows up in the news feed for someone and they don't unfollow you, they are making a decision to keep following you. Yeah. It may not be completely conscious, but they're deciding, okay, fine, I'm going to keep seeing this content. So the feed is all about those follow decisions. It's really encapsulating what your brand is, why people should pay attention, what you do, and typically more of a higher level point of view. Okay. But stories, oh, y'all, stories are where the magic happens. Stories is where we create connection, and it's where we create conversation with our folks on Instagram. Because stories are a gateway to direct messages. So every time you're posting a story, whether it's just a video of you talking about your day or a video of someone on your team taking someone around the space or a testimonial of one of your customers or clients on stories, no matter what it is, you are inviting people to direct message you. You can even get really intentional about this and literally say, send me a DM, you know, ask your followers questions, get them involved and start connecting with them and get them into your DMs. So feed and stories are really the most important. Yeah. Posting in the feed 3 to 4 times a week, posting on stories as regularly as you can, and then adding in Instagram Live when it makes sense for your brand. Instagram Live is really a powerful tool. It's not as powerful as live streaming on other platforms like Facebook, but it's still a really great tool to use just to connect with your people in real time. I also love Instagram Live because it's just so easy, right? Yeah. Stacey, you just like log on. It doesn't have to be perfect. You can just chat with your people. And then IGTV, I think, comes last for businesses, but really not until you're in a place where you are totally in tune with your followers on Instagram. Yeah. You've built a following on the platform that you're proud of. And then if you want to create more long form video content for those people on Instagram, IGTV makes the perfect sense. But just know IGTV, it's not really going to help you grow your following. It's not really going to put you in front of new people. It's really just about deepening the relationship with the followers you already have.
Got it. That's great. That's really great for everybody to hear. Now, I haven't gone live since you could take your live and put it on IGTV. Yeah. Have you done that yet? And is it pretty simple? And are you going to start to do more of them?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have done it a few times. We just came out of a live launch a couple of weeks ago where that feature had just rolled out and I did that. And then I left some of the lives up on my feed and up on IGTV. You can go check them out now at Tyler J. McCall. And they're doing so well. Like, people are still engaging with them. Even though I'm, like, in the video, I'm directly promoting something that the doors are closed right now, but people are still following them. They're still engaging. So yeah, it's super easy. And just at the end of that live video, you can, the three options, you can save it to your device, you can delete it, or you can share it to IGTV. And you still have the option to write the IGTV title, to write a description, to upload a cover photo. I highly recommend this for IGTV videos. Always upload a cover photo. It could just be a picture of you. It could be something you design in Canva. It doesn't have to be perfect, but just a cover photo so it doesn't catch you in that awkward, like, you know, kind of way that live video.
I always get those. Yes.
I know. It always does that. And then share it to your feed. Yeah. It's super simple.
Cool. Now, one takeaway, I wrote it down as you were talking. The biggest thing you said last year that we have, like, taken that strategy and used and it works so well is you had told us in a story, you know, do a poll or a question where they can say something. And then it could even be like, DM me more details, and they click it and then we DM them. Oh man, that works so good. And it feels great because we're not spamming them. They said, please send me the link, DM me details. So our enrollment team, we're constantly looking at who's asking for it and then how do we batch those out and get those to them. Yeah. So that is so, so helpful. Stories and getting them into the DMs is like everything.
For sure. Yeah. And it's really important that we're doing this shared experience content, this personal content, because we need to get our followers used to engaging with us in this way. So if you were to go out today and post on Instagram story and say, hey, this is what I'm doing today, let me know what you have going on. Send me a DM right now. And you've never done that before, it may be crickets. And that's totally okay. You just need to get your followers used to you asking. And then maybe next week you do it again and you get a couple responses, and the next week you do it again. And then you start doing things like doing an Insta story of you making your coffee in the morning and saying, let me know how you take your coffee. Send me a DM or send me a picture of what your coffee looks like, or posting a fun little cartoon or one of those little charts of like, where does your coffee fall on this chart?
Yeah.
Posting about your fitness routine and saying, send me what you're doing for your exercise today. Just getting your followers used to talking to you in that way. And that's important because then when the opportunity comes for you to say, we have a spot to work with us here, or we're opening enrollment for this, or we have a deal to purchase this, send us a DM to claim it, or send us a DM to learn more. They're used to doing it. They're used to having a conversation with you.
All right, so we are going to stop right there and pause on Tyler. I hope you enjoyed a little behind the scenes and a sneak peek of what we've been doing inside of our Biz Blitz. Now, if you are dying for the rest of this episode with Tyler and you want to hear from the rest of the 10 speakers that spoke at our virtual Biz Blitz event, go to foottrafficprogram.com. All of the details are there. This is for our members only inside of Foot Traffic Formula. So if you know you've been watching or listening for a while and you are ready to take that next step, this is going to be an incredible opportunity for you to do so. All right, see you next time. And that's a wrap. If you are loving the Foot Traffic Podcast, then I know you would love Foot Traffic Formula. It's my group coaching and accountability program where we turn your marketing goals into results. Head over to foottrafficprogram.com and get your marketing working for you today.